N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 530 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. It's a tick before 9 p.m. here on a Thursday night. The Yankees earlier today defeated the Cleveland Guardians 2-1 to salvage the final game of that three-game set. But we're not here to talk about what happened in these three games against Cleveland. Obviously, everybody knows the big black cloud that is looming over the New York Yankees right now. And I'll give you a little bit of backstory here of what's going on. Normally, Thursday night is reserved for the Bronx or Nowhere live on NYY Underground. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to NYY Underground over on YouTube. But a couple days ago, Kev, my partner on the Bronx or Nowhere, informed us that his son has a playoff game and he wouldn't be able to do the show. And unfortunately, we weren't able to come up with somebody to sit in with me. So I said, you know what? Just take the night off here. Chill out. Nothing going on. No sports. Just, you know, have a nice, relaxed, chill day. And then we got the news about Aaron Judge. And I said to myself, I could just let this go until Sunday, even though we don't have anything like really definitive right now. But I feel like we have to kind of work through some things here and a lot of emotions while we wait for answers on Aaron Judge. Because as the longtime listeners of this show know that, you know, this is almost like therapy. In fact, every year the Yankees get eliminated, we call the episode Fan Therapy. And we kind of work through our emotions. And even a few weeks ago, you saw me do that throughout the course of the show when I was super pissed about how they blew the game to the Mets. And I was ready to quit the show right then and there. And then kind of worked through it and got to a different place. But I don't want to come on here and think the worst. But you just look at what's going on right now. And you can't help but feel that things are not headed in a direction that you want them to be headed in, okay? So the big news of Thursday is that all this imaging that Aaron Judge underwent has been sent to a doctor who specializes in thoracic outlet syndrome. And that is something that we more have commonly seen pitchers go through than position players, as far as I'm remembering. I remember more pitchers having it. Obviously, two of the more well-known ones are Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler. I'm not going to bog you down with the science, but basically, if he has thoracic outlet syndrome, it can be a scary proposition for his overall health. He's got to get it taken care of immediately. And what that does to the Yankees in 2026, well, it basically sabotages the season because it's going to knock Aaron Judge out for the entire year. Now, I was listening to former NYYST guest Chris McMonagle on the way home today, and he said that taking Judge away, obviously big blow, no way to sugarcoat it, but can the Yankees still win? And let's discuss that. Can the Yankees still win, and not just win 85 games, sneak into the postseason, maybe a round, win the championship, because that's what this is all about, okay? So we said, let's end NYYST the only way we wanted to and the only way we haven't ended a season in the 10 years of this show, and that's with a championship, and now they threw a giant grenade into the middle of all this with the uncertainty surrounding Aaron Judge. But can the Yankees still win? in a weak American League, if you look around, can the Yankees still get out of the American League, especially with their starting pitching? Yes. Now, I didn't say that with a lot of certainty, but yes, they can. There's ways the Yankees have to do things as we move forward here for the Yankees to be able to still win. Now, whether or not they can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers in the World, or the Braves, or the Brewers in the World Series without Aaron Judge, different story. Can they get through the American League without him? Well, obviously, the one thing everybody wants the Yankees to do, and you know my feelings on this, is go get Tarik Skubal. Okay, so if you go get Tarik Skubal, you trot this formidable starting rotation out there of Fried, Schlitler, Cole, and Skubal, and you say, well, we can't score, but you can't either, and we got more confidence in being able to score two runs than you do, and go win that way. That's one way to go about it, okay? Yeah, the more prudent way to go about it is because Fried, Cole, Schlitler, and Rodon is still good enough to win, is using those assets and going out there and getting bats. You need a legitimate starting catcher, okay? Austin Wells is atrocious. So we sat here when Chris was with me on Monday, and we looked at Austin Wells' OPS plus, and I believe it was 63. Well, it's 58 right now. So he's gotten that much worse over the course of two games because he didn't play today, okay? He can't be an everyday player anymore. He's an automatic out. He looks lost at the plate. The at-bats are disgusting, okay? When fans hate you more than they hate Anthony Volpe, that's saying a lot. And that's where we are right now with Austin Wells. You always wonder about what that does to the pitching staff. And at this point, especially if we are dealing with the worst-case scenario with Aaron Judge, you have to figure out a way to get more offense out of that position. Obviously, the name everybody loves is Ryan Jeffers. He's dealing with a hamate injury. I'd almost want to see how he comes back from that before the Yankees invest in a trade there. And you know a lot of teams are going to be in on him, but that's one way to do it. Then you have to make, you probably want to trade for a third baseman here because the mix and match, as we talked about, is okay now, but it's not okay when you don't have Aaron Judge. So you need a more consistent performer and a guy that you know you're going to pencil in to third base every single day. Does that mean doing something crazy like going out there and getting Rafael Devers? It's a lot of money. They would probably give him up for nothing in terms of prospects to get him out of here, out of San Francisco, and get rid of the money because that has not worked at all. Could coming back to the AL East, being in a pennant race, short porch Yankee Stadium, could that do things to Rafael Devers? And we know he is a game-breaking offensive player when he's on top of his game. Is that something the Yankees do? It's a long-term commitment. It's a lot of money. Or do they think smaller-term type guys? I heard Chris McMonagle bring up a guy like Isak Paredes. I don't know. But they have to do something. They needed to do something previous to this news. Now they really need to do something. The other question that you ask yourself here is if, let's say, this is the worst case scenario for Aaron Judge, was do the Yankees punt on the trade deadline here? Because they knew they were getting Aaron Judge back in 2023. But the team had played so poorly without him, they punted at the trade deadline. So if you know you're not getting him back at all, what do? I think it's the height of stupidity, regardless if Aaron Judge misses another game or the rest of the games, to punt on this trade deadline here. The American League, with or without Aaron Judge, is still wide open for the Yankees to win. So I would not personally punt on the trade deadline. But does that change the Yankees' thinking here? So you heard things have come out from Brian Hoke and John Heyman that more so the Yankees sent this imaging to this doctor to rule it out. But we still haven't heard anything. It's 9 o'clock now on a Thursday. So fans, and rightfully so, their minds are going to one place and one place only. And let's say that it's not the worst case scenario. It still looks like it's probably going to be a long-term situation. Would you take Aaron Judge guaranteed back on August 1st right now? I think you'd have to. If it's a bone bruise, broken rib, one of those situations, something that keeps him out 6 to 8 weeks, and then, you know, then a couple weeks in a rehab there to ramp up, and you get him back mid-August, I think you'd have to sign for that right now with all the uncertainty surrounding him. Now, obviously, the next time you hear my voice, I'd love to be coming on here and saying, hey, Aaron Judge, 10-day IL. It shouldn't be much longer than that. And away we go here. But there just seems to be a level of concern. And you just get this feeling. You also got this feeling last year with the flexor strain that everybody thought he was getting Tommy John surgery. And that ended up not happening. But I don't know, can he avoid it twice? Avoid that dagger twice in two seasons with a season-ending injury? Let's hope so. Because it drastically changes the Yankees' outlook if he's out for the season. If he's out for 2 months, let's take that scenario. If he's out for 2 months, the Yankees just have to play 500 baseball. And are they good enough to play 500 baseball for the 2 months that Aaron Judge is out, if that is the case? They're going to have to score runs. They're going to have to find ways to score runs, enough runs that they can win half the games that they play until he gets back. Because they're 15 over right now. So if they play 500 through the next 2 months and they're still 15 over in August, that's going to be a pretty damn good position for them to be in this, especially in this American League. But you can't continue to look at this lineup that has Austin Wells and an under, we talked about Anthony Volpe. You know, you were hoping that he was going to step up here over these three games, hasn't done it. Or Jose Caballero, who I still think is better suited for this team in a role player position. Or Ryan McMahon or Trent Grisham. And all these guys that are having the similar type years of these OPSs in the 600s to the low 700s here. And what is Aaron Judge not being in the lineup due to Ben Rice? Ben Rice is having an MVP caliber season with Aaron Judge either batting in front of him or behind him. And pitchers are attacking Ben Rice in a certain way because they don't want to deal with Aaron Judge. So what does that do to Ben Rice when they don't have to deal with Aaron Judge anymore? So now you're taking your best offensive weapon and you're compromising him because you don't have Superman in the lineup anymore. And Cody Bellinger is a guy that's got to step up here as well. He's been really good this year. He needs to be great. He needs to be a guy that is consistently on base 2-3 times, getting big clutch hits every night because the Yankees need that. What do they also need? They need Giancarlo Stanton to come back in this lineup. They need Jason Dominguez, who's starting a rehab later on Friday, to come back into this lineup here and be the Martian. These are things that the Yankees need to happen. So if you add Dominguez, you add Stanton. So, you know, Dominguez becomes the right fielder, I guess, because you definitely would want to probably leave Belly in left field because how great he is out there. And Stanton is your DH. Okay, the lineup looks a little bit different. It looks a little bit better, but you still can't absolve that loss for however long it is. It's just a loss that you can't absorb. And that's why even when you heard Max Fried went down with the injury and it was going to be however long it was going to be and you knew it was a long-term situation for him, you didn't feel like the season was done. You felt like the Yankees can overcome that. He goes, they had Gerrit Cole coming back. They had Carlos Rodon coming back. They had Cam Schlittler and Ryan Weathers and Will Warren. An embarrassment of riches at starting pitching. So even though Max Fried was your ace last year and was pitching like a Cy Young contender leading up to this injury, you felt like you could absorb it. The Yankees don't have that type of offense where you feel like you can absorb Aaron Judge not being in a lineup for a prolonged period of time. But getting guys back like Jason Dominguez and Giancarlo Stanton can help lessen it a little bit, but you can't absorb it. And that's why the Yankees are going to have to bring in outside reinforcements here to help cover the difference. Now, I mean, best case scenario, it's a 10-day IL and he's back in a week. I don't think anybody feels that's what's going to happen. I think a lot of us feel best case scenario is he's out 2 months. Worst case scenario, obviously, he has surgery and we don't see him for the rest of the year. Irregardless of what the prognosis is on Aaron Judge moving forward and how many games he misses or doesn't miss, you can't punt the season. It's way too important for the Yankees to still go for this at the trade deadline and try to win a pennant in a weak American League. Whether or not Aaron Judge misses one game or the rest of the games, you have to go into the trade deadline aggressive, improve the bullpen, improve the offense even more so than you needed to previous to the injury, and try to get out of the American League. And who knows, maybe Stanton can carry the team in October, or maybe Cody Bellinger regains that MVP form, or whoever you bring in gets hot and is able to help carry a team, and you just never know. But you also have Gerrit Cole coming back from Tommy John surgery, and everything that he put into that. And you have Max Fried coming back from his bone bruise and everything he's putting into that. And the money you're paying those two guys, and you're going to tell both of them, well, Aaron Judge isn't here, we're going to punt the season? No. No, 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 no. You cannot do that to them. You can't do that to the other 24 guys on the roster. And you can't do that to this fan base. That's why the message to Brian Cashman, regardless of the news that he receives on Aaron Judge, is simple. Go for it. Be aggressive at the trade deadline and do what you need to do to go win a pennant here. Now, maybe your level of what you wanted to get offensively was at a certain point with Aaron Judge, and you maybe have to step that up a little bit to cover an absence of Aaron Judge. Do it. Okay? Maybe you do something crazy that you weren't thinking about, like McMonagle said and we talked about a little bit earlier. Maybe you do go get Tarik Skubal now and say, hey, try to score off this. We might not score a lot, but you'll score less. I think the bullpen is going to figure itself out, but I still would love to see the Yankees add a closer. At least a legitimate setup man who's done it. Because Carlos Grande is being transitioned into the bullpen. He had his first what they're calling a bullpen outing. He struck out 7 over 4 innings. So I guess they're just kind of like winding him down here instead of giving him like an inning in 2/3 here. Just kind of winding him down a little bit. I still believe Ryan Weathers will find his way into the bullpen at some point because of the innings that he didn't throw last year. And I like Ryan Weathers a lot, and I think we'll definitely see an uptick in his stuff. Clark Schmidt is going to begin throwing here soon, and he's already been talked to about being a bullpen guy. I don't know, man. If he can go out there and throw 95 and rip off some of those curveballs for an inning, that could be deeply beneficial to the Yankees here. And then, you know, we'll see what happens and who they might bring in, because Brent Hedrick's been really good. Fernando Cruz has been really good. I think ultimately David Bednar is a guy that is a positive for the bullpen. And as much as I love him, would love to see the Yankees back him up a little bit here and bring in a closer. And then Tim Hill is getting his doors blown off here. His ERA has been like 20 over his last five outings or something close to that. But I think he's just going through a little bit of a rough patch here, and the Yankees are relying on him more than they probably need to and want to because of some of the other issues they have in the bullpen. You get Timmy Hill to back down a little bit here, and we'll get Timmy Hill doing Timmy Hill things again in no time. So as terrible as it felt about the bullpen, I think that this can be fixed and not be fixed. I mean, and not take a lot to fix it. I think that the offense is going to need a lot of work here. And it needed a lot of work before the news about Aaron Judge. And think about this. Everybody wants to talk shit about Aaron Judge. The guy had a 908 OPS and 17 home runs with whatever the hell is going on with them. That's how good this guy is. So when you are a Yankee fan, right? I'm a Yankee fan. I'm assuming if you're listening, you're a Yankee fan as well. That you come to expect a certain level of greatness of Aaron Judge. And when he doesn't achieve it, you figure yourself something's wrong. And if you really watch some of those at-bats in Sacramento against the A's, the first time you really felt like something was wrong, especially that one ball that he hit out to right field. That was a classic Aaron Judge swing to go oppo for a home run, and it fell short. And in that 13-run inning they had, the second at-bat, man, that should have been the icing on the cake with a 420-foot Aaron Judge blast, and he just didn't do anything. So obviously whatever is going on with him has hampered him at the plate, and it got to the point where him and the Yankees have decided to shut it down here. And as we sit here and we await answers, and I get that the fans are frustrated, and I get that the Yankees have a certain negative connotation surrounding them with the way they handle injuries or the way they produce information about injuries. But would Aaron Judge, let's not say anything until we know everything. That's how I am taking this. Let's not say anything until we know everything. So we know shoulder, bone bruise, feels it in the shoulder. That's what came out on Tuesday. The thoracic outlet syndrome specialist is looking at the thing, and the Yankees did that to rule it out. So let's not speculate anymore. Coming from the team, and they're doing the right thing here. Let's not speculate. Let's not throw chum in to the Sharks until we know what's going on here. So, I mean, I didn't want to come on here and really talk about the Cleveland series at all. It is a little upsetting and frustrating. It was a frustrating couple of days here for the Yankees. They won today. They won 2-1. Ryan McMahon, of all people, comes up with the big hit in the seventh inning. And who scored the winning run? Oh, that would be Jazz Chisholm. How'd he get on base? Oh, he drew a walk. And then advanced on a couple of wild pitches. I was driving. I was listening to the game on the radio there. But he became a factor on the base paths. Once he drew that walk and allowed McMahon to get that hit there. Huh. It's interesting how that works when Jazz Chisholm isn't trying to hit the ball 500 feet every time he's up there. And that's another guy, you know, we didn't mention him. Jazz Chisholm needs to be a guy that the Yankees can count on to have big at-bats. And every time I post on social media, I get the same people saying the same things. I've been saying it long before you said it, okay? And I was called nasty words for it. That's neither here nor there. If this guy can recognize the zone, you know, control the zone better, and do what Cody Bellinger does, and key on one pitch in that bat to hit a home run, and then if you don't, take a two-strike approach, try to slap the ball the other way, work a count, and get on base, he's a much different offensive player. he's got a unique skill set that a lot of that pretty much any nobody on the Yankees has. If Jason Dominguez plays to his capabilities, he's the closest. A guy with some speed and some power. So if you get him on base and he can create some havoc, he's got 14 stolen bases and he's barely been on base this year. You know, you can win some ball games there by stealing some runs by having Josh Chisholm on base. But then what was so frustrating about this is that the Rays have lost 8 of their last 10 here. The Yankees had an opportunity to pick up some ground, which they'll tell you they picked up half a game today, whatever. I don't care. I'm a lost column guy. You guys know that. They didn't pick up any ground in this series against Cleveland in the lost column. Well, technically they did because the Rays lost on Monday and the Yankees had an off day. So they picked up a game here through this week. But they had a chance to pick up another two games. And what was so frustrating about this series is that you had Cam Schlittler on the mound, worst outing of the year. You had Gerrit Cole on the mound, worst outing of the year. And the offense, even without Aaron Judge, it did enough to win a ball game if Cam and Cole pitched to their capabilities. But it didn't happen. They lose. And then Carlos Rodon pitches a good ball game today. And they eke out just enough runs to win. And in the short term, while they're waiting for Dominguez, while they're waiting for Giancarlo Stanton, while they're waiting for definitive news on Aaron Judge, and while they're waiting to make trades, this was the blueprint for how the Yankees are going to have to try to win baseball games. Hold the opponent to a single run, get great starting pitching, get your bullpen to lock it down, and get a clutch hit. And the Yankees, this is what I say, man. Like, tell me what it looks like instead of giving me the stats. The Yankees have this connotation about them that they don't come up with, quote, clutch hits. Well, to me, the category of clutch hits obviously is runners in scoring position and with two outs, especially with two outs. The Yankees lead the American League in runs scored. The majority of their runs scored have happened with two outs. Pretty wild when you think about it. Get some key two-out hits, great starting pitching, and hope you get bullpen work like you got today from Hedrick, Cruz, and Bednar. And that's how the Yankees are going to have to win games. And that's why a week ago, whenever it was that we talked about Tarik Skubal, and I didn't think that it was anywhere near the realm of possibility, maybe it becomes a little bit more possible, especially if the Yankees can't acquire a bat, a big bat. And they needed one before Aaron Judge. Now they might need two. They do need two. And if that doesn't happen, is today the blueprint? And is that what you say? Let's go get Skubal and line up Cole, Fried, Skubal, and Schlittler and tell them you can't score. We can't, but you can't score. But we'll score more than you for sure. Is that the plan? So, I mean, we're sitting here now as we're about to sign off here on this episode of NYYST. And, you know, there's no further information. Obviously, we know that the imaging was sent to the specialist for thoracic outlet syndrome. Both Hoke and Heyman said that the Yankees did that to rule it out. Hopefully, that's what he did. Because any of the other possibilities are good possibilities at this point. A broken rib is a good possibility compared to this. A broken rib puts Aaron Judge back in play for September in the postseason. A bone bruise puts Aaron Judge back in play for September in the postseason. That's what we need. Whatever it is, whatever it might be, we need it to be something that puts Aaron Judge back on the field, back in right field, wearing his number 99 in September in the postseason. So any diagnosis that does that at this point is a good one. And as we'll look ahead here, the Yankees are welcoming the Boston Red Sox to town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for a weekend set. An old friend, Sonny Gray, is coming to town. 6-1, 306. So he's pitching really well for the Red Sox. And you know what I would love to see? Him crying like a bitch in the third inning when they have to go get the hook. That's what I would love to see tomorrow night or later tonight, because you'll be listening to this on Friday, in the Bronx. Sonny Gray crying like the little bitch that he is, that he got knocked out in the third inning with a Yankee, by a Yankee lineup that doesn't even have Aaron Judge. That's what I would love to see, you know, against Ryan Weathers, who was his stuff was absolutely phenomenal against Oakland. I don't care. It's Oakland, okay? Against the A's on Saturday night. And David Cone said that on the broadcast, and I think I mentioned this in the episode on Monday, that you hated that home run that he gave up to Kurtz because it ruined his night. It ruined his stat line, and he should have had better numbers for how great his stuff is. So he's looking to build up off of that. And then on Saturday, Fox has the game, so you'll hear John Schmoltz doing John Schmoltz things. Again, Ranger Suarez, who's pitching well for the Red Sox, 3-8 against Will Warren, and then closing out the series, 135. Cam Schlittler against Connolly early, which is a rematch, and early's pitching well as well, 3-2-6. A rematch of Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. So, you know what? The Red Sox are not playing well. They're not hitting, but they're throwing three good pitchers out there against the Yankees without Aaron Judge. So we'll see what happens. Yanks got to take 2 out of 3 here. No excuses. I'm sorry, I said the Yankees were 15 over. The Yankees are 12 over. They're 37-25. But still, if they played 500, if Aaron Judge is out 2 months and the Yankees are still 12 games over 500 when he comes back, they did a good job. And that's what they need to focus in on. Win series. You know, if you don't beat good teams, you don't beat good teams. And people will stomp that narrative until there's nothing left of it. And that's fine. But just win winnable games. That's kind of what you have to do at this point. And at this point, you know, it's the final season of NYYST. We are into June here. So, you know, we got what? June, July, August, September, and hopefully a long October. And then that's it. The curtains will close on this show. And obviously, we want Aaron Judge to not close the curtains on his season here, because that would just be something that I don't want to deal with here in the final season of NYYST. But if you subscribe to the very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now, you won't miss any brand new episodes of NYYST. And please, guys, leave us a 5-star rating and review on that podcast platform. You know, show us some love. We would love to hear from everybody in our final season here. As I said earlier, subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube for Game Season Live that Pete brings, the Designated Spitters on Sundays, and new episodes of The Bronx or Nowhere. We are supposed to be back next Thursday at 8:30 live, so be sure to catch that. We are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey, so summer's here. It's beautiful outside. You see your neighbors, say, hey, NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Go to your favorite podcast platform, search NYYST, click subscribe. There you go. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Christian_NYYST. Hopefully I'm a happy boy on Sunday when we do the next podcast, because not only would I be a happy boy if the Yankees take 2 out of 3 here from the Red Sox and they bitch smack the bitch Sonny Gray, but I'm going to see the Masters of the Universe on Saturday. And that was my favorite cartoon as a kid. I loved He-Man. If we were on video, I'd show you all the He-Man collectibles that I bought in the last 2 weeks. Don't tell anybody. Shh. Or one person, really. But she knows the packages are collecting by the door here. But I wasn't thrilled when I heard, because it had been in development for so long that I didn't have a lot of high hopes for it. But the marketing has been stellar. The press, you know, all the press they've been doing, the hype, the scenes that I've saw so far, they got me. And I'm going Saturday. And I think this is the first movie since Creed 2 that I've gone to see in the theaters opening weekend. So you get to see how long that's been. Almost 43 years of life, I've been watching He-Man for as long as I can remember. All I've wanted was a real He-Man movie. Don't give me that bullshit about 1987 Masters of the Universe, the dwarf eating fried chicken with Courtney Cox on Earth with the musical key bullshit. And he never, where's Cringer? He never transforms from Prince Adam into He-Man. No. I need this to be good almost as much as I need Aaron Judge to be healthy in September and October. So let's root for both of those things and let's root for a happy show on Sunday. Again, we love you guys so much. Thank you for all your support throughout the final season and all 10 seasons of NYYST. This has been episode 530. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.